John chapter 8, that last song you sang, I hope you mean that. You are completely and totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Lordship, and let Him rule and reign over you. John chapter 8, if you would stand with me, please, we'll begin reading in verse 37. We'll read down to verse 47. This continues the dialogue that Jesus began with the Jews that some would say are saved, because verse 30 said they believed on Him, and verse 31 it even said to them, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him. But it continues the same dialogue. We pick up this morning in verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's some strong language. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the privilege to read your word together. And now as we make the sense of it or give the sense of it, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the teaching of your word to the hearts of people. And Lord, I pray if there be somebody here who's not saved, and while the choir did sing about the church as the body, and this is your body, Lord, I pray that if there be one person here that doesn't know thee as Savior, whether in the body or not, that they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I pray that Christians would gain biblical knowledge and understanding, and they wouldn't be confused when they read some of these passages of Scripture. This happens to be a difficult chapter, but I ask that you would add your blessing to what we say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. With the absolute inevitable reality of death that awaits everybody, and then ultimately after that, the afterlife, people long for security. People long for security. They seek comfort and stability. They seek a positive outlook for the future. They seek a sense of purpose, and ultimately even some hope after death. And whether they are conscious of it or not, they yearn to ease the crushing burden of sin that dominates their life. Now, the Bible tells us not to seek security in the wrong areas or in the wrong things. Solomon did an experiment of looking for something that would fill a void in his heart and looking for some security in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll come back to that. But some look to wealth and possessions to provide security and eliminate anxiety. Let me just remind you of a few things. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:24, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? No, it doesn't. And riches don't last. Proverbs 23 goes and says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Your riches don't last. You'll never be secure in riches. Somebody once wisely said, you know how much money it takes to satisfy a rich person? Just a little bit more, just a little bit more. They're never satisfied. Jesus added, if you would please, turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus himself said a few things on this. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Also, if you'll jump ahead to Luke chapter 12. This is the wrong chapter. I'm going to tell you that before I read it. No, this is the right chapter. Never mind. I thought, that doesn't sound right. I'm wrong. Did you know once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken? Anyway, you'll get that in a minute. Luke 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of the covetousness of man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See, he was looking for security and all this stuff. But God said unto him, thou what? Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Wealth and prosperity will never bring you security. Others look for security in personal power. Job says, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power. Power is fleeting, providing only a false hope of security. Psalm 37 deals with that. Others think they can quiet their hearts and find security by finding it in their social standing and the prestige, and they're going to be disappointed just like everybody else. The Pharisees of Jesus' day loved to have the chief seats in the synagogue. Boy, they thought, look where I sit, look at me, aren't I something? Some even people, but they're going to be disappointed. Some people even look to physical appearance and looks for security, not knowing that the Bible says in Proverbs 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. While it doesn't hurt to look good, it's all vain. Beauty is vain. The Bible says, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know what really Peter said makes a beautiful woman beautiful? A meek and a quiet spirit. King Saul said in 1 Samuel 9, the Bible says, he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Boy, look at King Saul. This guy is impressive. And you know what kind of a king he was? He was an utter failure. I mentioned Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. You can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I was going to read more of it, but I won't. Solomon did a test. He tried all kinds of places to find security. Chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, he tried human wisdom. Chapter 2, he tried human achievements. He tried entertainment. He tried sex and relationships. He tried work. He tried wealth. You know what he concluded in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes? I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So as you get to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he finally says this, verse 13. It's the last chapter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do you want to find security in your life? Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, all of our needs and all of our desires, they are to be met in God. he can meet them all. Let us hear the conclusion. Let me tell you the conclusion of the test that I've done, Solomon says. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Because everything is going to come under the judgment of God, he said, fear God and keep his commandments. And Solomon's point is simply this. Any attempt to gain security in temporal earthly things rather than in God is always destined to fail. Only through the salvation that he offers through Christ can true eternal safety be found and security be found. It's only in Christ. Those who put their faith in the Savior, we have nothing to fear. I preached three messages recently on Sunday nights. It started out as one, it turned into three. But it was, God is greater than our circumstances. But one of them, remember, God was greater than our fears. If we put our faith in God and trust in God, we don't have to fear. Those who put their faith in the Savior have nothing to fear. Paul wrote to Romans, he said, I am persuaded, I hope you are persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm persuaded of that. And beloved, I hope you are. But here's something else that happens. Satan knows that people long for security. He knows that. He knows that the only place to find that security is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, and I think this is one of his master plans, he offers in its place a counterfeit hope. You know what that is? False religions. What a great plan. It's a deadly strategy because it deceives people into thinking that they are right with God when they are, in fact, not right with God. But they think they're right with God. Go back to John chapter 8 now and we'll pick up our text. These people that the Lord is in dialogue with here really thought they were right with God. They couldn't have been more wrong. But I want you to notice something as a little bit of review in verse 30 and 31 of John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And then he said, verse 37, I believe. Is that where I want to go? Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now look up here. Those Jews right there which believed on him are not saved. They are not believing to believe. That makes, you know what I mean? I'm not sure I know what I mean, but anyway, I think I do. That is not a saving belief. James talked about a non-saving faith. Now, some people, when they read this text, though they believed in Jesus, they're saved. No, they're not saved. So I want you to understand that. I talked about that more last week. But where we pick up, this is a group of Jews who it said in verse 30 believed in Jesus. And in verse 31, Jesus began to a dialogue with those people that believed in him. But I want you to understand before we get into the message, they are not saved Jews. Okay, it becomes very obvious. It did last week, and it will become more obvious even today. It continues this dialogue that began in verse 31, where the Lord confronted the false security that the Jews looked for and their self-righteous legalism. And they're going to make three statements that said they were right with God, and Jesus will refute at least two of them completely. As the Lord did so, the Jewish leaders got more hostile toward him and even began to kill him. But the Lord didn't back down his message. He didn't soften his message, but he got direct and forceful to where finally he says to those Jews that believe on him, verse 44, you are of your father the devil. That's what he told them. And the lust of your father you will do. So that's who he said they were. Even though it says they believed, they did not have believing faith. I think I said it like this last week. They believed, but they weren't believers. If that makes, I hope that makes sense to you. Now, they made three claims. One of them was they claimed to be Abraham's physical children, verse 37 and 38. Now, for our younger people in here, I want you to listen very closely to what I say over the next several minutes. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. That was the very same ones that said they believe. He said, my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father, indicating that they have two separate fathers. Now, everybody is in that group. There are two families represented, God's family and, that's right, Satan's family. That's it. Everybody fits into one of those two families. There's no other options. You're either a child of God or you are still in Satan's family. So he said, I'm in God's family, and you're going to see here where he says, you guys, you're not. But they said, we be Abraham's descendants. So he says to them in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed. So what they're counting on here is they're counting on their relationship being a descendant of Abraham to have some kind of spiritual advantage. Now, I said this to our young people for this purpose. You're going to see, it doesn't matter where you're descended from. You can have godly parents. God bless you if you did. You can have godly grandparents. God bless you if you did. You can go back three and four generations. Praise God. Just remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Some of you have a godly heritage, and God expects something more out of you perhaps than he does a guy like me. But just because you have this godly heritage, that does not automatically make you a Christian. Just because this group of people were Abraham's descendants, let me say it like this, riddle me this, does not automatically make them Israel in a spiritual sense. You'll see that when you get to Romans chapter 2. Maybe we'll read it after. Anyway, so young people, listen. Because it doesn't matter who you come from. Salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A choice that you're going to have to make for yourself, and you can't hang your hat on mom's or dad's or grandma's or grandpa's. I remember when I was in college, there was a guy that we used to talk to, and his grandfather was a preacher, and his dad was a deacon, and his mom was a Sunday school teacher. Well, that's all nice, isn't it? But that doesn't guarantee your salvation. And when you're talking to him, it's like, you're asking him if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, and he goes on about his heritage, and I'm glad he had that kind of a godly heritage. But if that's what he's trusting in, he's in trouble. Anyway, so they make this claim to be Abraham's descendant. While Jesus acknowledged that they were his physical descendants, he also knew that they based their security largely on that fact, believing that they were guaranteed entrance into God's kingdom simply because they were Abraham's offsprings. That doesn't guarantee anybody entrance into God's kingdom. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 2 and keep your finger here in John, or flip your Bible so you can find it quickly, because we'll come right back to it. But in Romans chapter 2, begin reading in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now skip down to verse 23 and follow. That thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Your circumcision didn't do you any good. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, which is what outward circumcision would do, or physical circumcision. Neither is he that circumcision is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not of men, but of God. Now, being an ethnic descent from Abraham, and even maybe participating even in physical circumcision, they count for nothing apart from the circumcision which is of the heart. And we sang a couple songs about the blood of Christ this morning, but the cleansing of sin that is wrought by the blood of Christ in salvation, and apart from that, all promised blessings and advantages that the Jewish people are entitled to, and there are several, you know what they mean ultimately? They mean nothing if they haven't put their faith in Christ. Romans 9:6 is not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. That's what I was referring to earlier. Just because you are a descendant of Abraham, Jesus is telling this group, does not make you a believer. Only the believing remnant are true believers, verse 27 of Romans chapter 2. And just like some of you young people, just because mom's a believer or dad's a believer or both are believers does not make you a believer. Now I want you to notice something with me, Galatians chapter 3. I did not realize it was that time. Maybe that clock is wrong. I didn't realize it was that late already. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do that God counted to him for righteousness? What does it say? Okay, you're right. He believed. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, the group that he is speaking to show they weren't among the believing remnant. His word had no place in them. If you'll notice verse 38 back in John chapter 8. I speak, well, that ain't verse 37. Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now, this group that he is speaking to, they weren't among the believing remnant. His word had no place in them. They rejected his teaching. And then they wanted to kill him. He then said in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And he kind of is mentioning, you know, we've got two different fathers, and explained the implication of their hard-heartedness. He heard from his father. They heard from their father. His conduct proved that he was God's child. Their conduct proved that their father was actually the devil, which he forthright said in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Now, they didn't really know him, nor did they understand the words that he spake. And because they didn't know him, they did not know his father either. In fact, he said that earlier in verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. Physical seed, being a physical descendant from Abraham, did them no good. And if you are here and you have a godly heritage and you're relying on that for your salvation, truthfully, it will do you no good either. Secondly, they claim to be Abraham's physical seed. Now, secondly, they claim to be Abraham's spiritual children. Keep following verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. All those times he says, if God were your father, indicating that he wasn't. So they said again, Abraham is our father. Now they're saying, we follow his pattern of faith, so we must be his spiritual children. Jesus challenged that when he said in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. So he's challenging them. Now Abraham had great faith. Now get this. In Genesis 15, 6, the Bible said, and he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know what was counted to Abraham for righteousness? Belief. Romans chapter 4, don't turn there, the entire chapter shows that Abraham was saved by faith. He was not saved by works. He was not saved by circumcision. He was not saved by keeping the law. He was saved by faith. We read a few verses in Galatians chapter 3, but if you read from verse 6 all the way down to verse 14, you find out that people are saved by faith. Paul wrote, Hebrews chapter 11, the author of Hebrews included Abraham is person of faith. By faith, Abraham did. In contrast to Abraham, the Lord's opponents were self-righteously trying to earn favor with God by their own good works. They did not follow Abraham's example. Salvation is not based on legalistic effort. It is not based on religious affiliation. It doesn't matter what church you're part of, per se, or ethnic background. It's not based on those things. It is based on faith. Now, I said that about Abraham. When I was in Bible college, some of you that went to Bible college may have experienced the same thing, but we had a group of guys that came up from Florida. They attended a Bible college there for a year or two, and then they would transfer. And none of them believed that Abraham was saved by faith. They all believed that Abraham was saved by works. And we used to call it snack shop theology. And we'd go down and where the snack shop was down below and argue, pretty much, is what we did. And they argued that Abraham was saved by works. That Old Testament saints are saved by works, and that New Testament people are saved by faith. It seems pretty clear to me when I read Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was saved by faith. Now, if you don't believe that and you want to argue with somebody over it, go find somebody else to argue with, okay? I had all the arguments I need when I was in Bible college, but I'm not interested. But the truth is, it seems very clear biblically that it is faith that saves people. It is not being a descendant of Abraham. It is not legalistic effort. It is not religious affiliation. It is not ethnic backgrounds. It is faith in Jesus Christ. It is solely through faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:15, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Who? The man Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. It's not anybody else. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, had they been Abraham's children, they'd have done the same kind of things that Abraham did. Abraham didn't plan on murdering anybody, especially the Messiah. They rejected him. And when they rejected the Messiah, they proved that they were not Abraham's spiritual children. Did you notice the end of verse 40? Which I have heard of God. Ye seek to kill me, a man which has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't plan on killing anybody. The contrast between them and Abraham is quite sharp. Abraham was not a murderer. They sought to kill Jesus. Abraham obeyed and loved the truth. They rejected the truth. Abraham welcomed God. They rejected God. It is no wonder then when you get to verse 44, Jesus plainly simply said this, you are of your father the devil. You are not a child of God. Now the reason people get confused in this chapter is because of verses 30 and 31 where it says they believed. So just understand, their belief is not a saving belief, which as a pastor is always one of my great concerns within the church. And people rest on their descent, their heritage, or other things, their affiliation with some church. And it's very frightening to think that you might think you are right with God and in fact, like these people, are not right with God. They made another claim, verse 41. They claimed to be God's children. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, he says this again, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now they claim to be God's children. Once he said some of the things that he said, I mean, they're just getting mad. So they lash out. You notice that phrase? They said, we be not born of fornication in verse 41. You know what that's a reference to? The controversy surrounding the birth of this Messiah. You know, you can imagine when a woman had a child, Mary, and people are like, she says she was a virgin. Oh, yeah, right. That happens every day. I don't know everything that was said, but I'm sure there was a little bit of this going on, wouldn't you imagine? So anyway, they're like, your birth might have been illegitimate, but our birth wasn't illegitimate. They went on, they said, verse 41, we have one Father, even God. So they claimed to be God's children. Now, in a natural sense, God is the Father of all of Israel as a nation because of the promise to Abraham. But spiritually speaking, he was the father of only those who had truly come to saving faith, so they insist we must be God's children. I was getting my hair cut once at a barber. Barbers have the amazing ability to talk to everybody about everything. It doesn't matter who sits in their chair, the barber will have a conversation with you. It's quite remarkable, if you want to know the truth. But anyway, I was there, and I was a young Christian at the time, and my barber was cutting somebody else's hair ahead of me, and they were talking about the Jews. And they finally got talking, and then the barber said to the fellow that he was cutting, he said, well, all Jews are Jews. They're all going to heaven anyway. They're all safe in God's arms. Well, I'm like, that doesn't sound right to me. Now, I wasn't educated enough in the scripture where I was going to boldly stand up and say something. I would now, but then I wouldn't. But he was wrong on that. So in verse 42, Jesus said this, if God were your father, ye would love me. Implying he's not your father, guys. You keep saying that, but he's not. Because those who profess love for God, yet reject the one who proceedeth forth and came from him, they cannot possibly be the children of God. You know one of the grand marks of knowing if somebody is saved or not? If they love Jesus or not. I mean, that's kind of simple. By refusing to embrace Jesus, the Jewish leaders completely undermined their claim. Their claim was that God was their father. Earlier in chapter 5, I think, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which have sent me. Jesus said that before, and we get to John chapter 15, and trust me, we'll get there if the Lord Terry's is coming. We'll get there sooner or later. Looks like later than sooner. But anyway, in verse 23 also here, he said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. You can't say you love God and don't love Jesus. That's what he's saying. True children of God are characterized by a love for his Son. Now, these people wanted to kill him. Then Jesus asked in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, he even answered his own question. How come you don't understand me? Because you can't understand my speech. So instead, they demonstrated this. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. And what he implied in verses 38 and in verse 41, if God were your father, he clearly stated in verse 44, if you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, physically, he said, yeah, you're the children of Abraham. You're a descendant of Abraham. But spiritually and morally, you are the children of Satan. So it wasn't surprising that they wanted to do evil. There are two evil desires that characterize Satan: murder and lying. He was a murderer. And when Adam and Eve fell to temptation, they died spiritually and they died physically. And it plunged the entire human race into that same state. He is also a liar. His lie to Eve, you know, it's bad when somebody lies to you. When Satan lies to you, it's not a sin. You know what's a sin? When you embrace it. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you give in to that temptation. But Satan lied to Eve. He said this to her: "You won't die. You're not going to die." She believed the lie. It led to the spiritual ruin of the human race. He continues to deceive people. Actually, when we do two things, we are most like Satan: when we lie and when we murder. Now, I don't really expect anybody here to walk out and just murder somebody today, truthfully, or ever. But it wouldn't shock me if somebody told a lie today or tomorrow or the next day. But that's when we're most like Satan. He continues to deceive people. And then Jesus asks two questions in verse 46. Which of you convinces me of sin? Well, who can convict Jesus of sin? Nobody. He said, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He, of course, knew no sin, so they couldn't convict him of sin. He is holy and innocent and undefiled and separate from sinners. Then he says this: if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? If he wasn't guilty of sin, he must have spoken the truth to them. And why did they reject him? Do you ever wonder why do people just keep rejecting Jesus? People that you have witnessed to and witnessed to and witnessed to, and quite honestly, you don't know what more to say to them. But they just keep rejecting. And then Jesus answered his own question. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. I don't know how much stronger he could have said this. Because ye are not of God. Now that was the same ones that verses 30 and 31 said believed in him. But it wasn't a saving belief. Jesus demonstrated the false hope of security that the Jews sought in being Abraham's descendants. People have all kinds of false senses of security. False religion is Satan's greatest. Though they claimed to be children of Abraham in lineage, excuse me, they were actually children of Satan. And unless they believe, they are doomed. And the same is true today for people. All who base their hope on anything other than the person and work of Jesus Christ, they are doomed. Any of you children that are here today, you younger people, the children are in the back, but any of you younger people that are here today, if you're basing your faith on your parents and riding on their coattail, you will be doomed. If you think because your grandpa was a preacher and mommy was a Sunday school teacher and daddy was a deacon, and you say, there, I must be safe, you're wrong. All believers, though, will share in the, all unbelievers will share in the Father's condemnation. All believers will share in the Father's blessings. True security isn't found anywhere except in being a child, a genuine, true child of God. And so if some of you young people have never really come to personal faith, having a personal relationship in Jesus Christ, I beg you to do so. If you think because you have this godly heritage, and you know what, if you do, thank God for it. And I'm serious, thank God for it. But you still have to have your own faith. It's called a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. When I stand before the Bema seat, or let's say I was a lost person, let me rephrase, and I stood at the white throne judgment, I couldn't say, well, my mom was a Christian, my dad was a Christian, my grandfather was a preacher, even my great-grandfather, man. He was a Puritan. He came over way back when America was just getting founded. You know what that'll mean? Nothing. Won't mean anything. It's all about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And you and I having a personal relationship with Him. So don't let that... When somebody comes up and says they're okay, or they believe, they might not. They might be just like those Jews and those Pharisees that said what they said to Jesus, we be God's children. Jesus said, no, you're not. You're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do. And that's why they sought to murder him, because they were doing the works of their father. Murder. That's what Satan is. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, and no one looking around.